This is KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Christy Schallenberger. A second house fire in 2 days ignited in Bethel yesterday. Fire crews responded to calls for a trailer in flames behind Front Street Cafe. There are no injuries and fatalities. KYUK's Anna Rose MacArthur talked with one of the tenants as white smoke rose from the building.
Jeremy Lee is just hoping he has a warm place to sleep tonight.
Yeah, we got like 2 fire trucks, 2 water pump city trucks, ambulance out here. They're just trying to get the fire contained right now.
It's about 4:30 p.m. on Wednesday. The fire started less than an hour ago. Lee has been renting a room in the now-burning trailer since April.
It's just a bummer, you know, because, you know, I had my own place. I had close to work. You know, finally got me on my feet. I wasn't homeless anymore, and now that's a different story.
Lee is 31 years old and moved to Bethel from Nunapachuk in October of last year. He lived with family for a while, but it wasn't a good situation. Once the winter house opened, he stayed there every night until it closed. Then he found a room in the trailer.
I was happy I finally had my own place. I didn't have to worry about where to stay every night. And I'm back to square one now. But I'm just happy everybody's okay, safe. Nobody died. You know, that's the most important thing.
Lee described the trailer as a bunkhouse, saying it had 5 bedrooms with 5 tenants and a shared bathroom.
No kitchen. I had my own little toaster oven and mini fridge. You know, that's how I lived.
He says the landlord is the owner of Front Street Cafe, and most of the tenants are restaurant employees. Lee says the fire started just before 4 p.m. He works next door at Swanson's Grocery, and he'd come home just prior on a break to get a cup of noodles.
And we had an intoxicated female in our porch, and I kicked her out. I told her she had to leave, or we're going to call the police to get her removed from here, because she was raising ruckus at our place, you know.
He says the woman used to work at the restaurant and had caused problems before. She left, he got his noodles, and went back to work. Then
somebody at work told me, hey, the place is on fire over there, so I clocked out and ran over here. And sure enough, our place is burning.
The police, fire department, and EMS arrived. He saw an officer leading the intoxicated woman away in handcuffs. When I told Lee that I was sorry about the situation, he told me, don't be.
Because it's just a building. I mean, yeah, it's bad. It's bad now because I have to find another place to rent from, to live, you know. That's about it, and everything's replaceable.
Do you have any ideas of where you can stay the night?
Not at the moment, no. That's going to be my concern because it's cold out now and all my coats and stuff burned. So I have to figure out how I'm going to stay warm and where to sleep.
Jeremy Lee says he's also going to have to figure out where he can get a guitar so he can continue playing live music on Friday mornings on Coffee at KYUK. In Bethel, I'm Anna Rose MacArthur.
And finally, the village of Red Devil in the upper Kuskokwim River was named after Alaska's biggest mercury mine. The mine built the town, but also left behind toxic pollution once it shut down in the 1970s. Leanne Morgan stands at a makeshift table on the bank of the Kuskokwim River, cutting a huge northern pike. Leanne and her dad, Joe Morgan, make pike a regular part of their diet. All subsistence food is. They eat salmon, lush, and shefish. In the fall, they hunt moose. But the pike they eat contains high levels of mercury. So high that the federal government issued a warning to elders, children, and pregnant women to limit how much they eat from the Middle Kuskokwim River area. Leanne and Joe aren't worried.
We never get sick or anything, so we're fine.
This part of the Kuskokwim River winds through a mercury belt. That means there are already high levels of mercury that infiltrate the northern pike and other fish. It also makes the area ripe for mining. In 1933, Alaska's biggest mercury mine started operating and created its own town. It's called Red Devil. At the mine's peak, during World War II through the 1960s, 200 people lived in the town. but the mine shut down in 1971, when the price of mercury ore dropped too low to turn a profit. After the owners left, it was discovered that the mine tailings were leaching into Red Devil Creek, a tributary of the Kuskokwim, as well as the surrounding groundwater. No one knows when they started leaking. Those tailings are made up of mercury, which can cause neurological damage, especially to unborn babies, and arsenic and antimony, which can cause cancer. The Red Devil Mine began operating when there were few mining regulations. Mike McCrum is the project manager for the Red Devil Mine for the Department of Interior's Bureau of Land Management. He says the owners did remove the groundwater from the mine site.
And then they just stopped and walked away, quite literally.
The materials left behind were toxic enough to attract federal attention. BLM is in charge of the cleanup. So far, it has torn down the old buildings, buried the tailings in a liner, and planted a gate warning people of its health risks. It set up a weir to stop the leaching in 2014. BLM is set to come up with a final remediation proposal within the next year. But McCrum says communicating the risks from the mine to the community has been a challenge.
Because it's a pretty abstract concept, and you're talking to people whose food security is at risk.
BLM tested the water from Red Devil Creek. They tested the fish that swam in the creek. They tested people's hair. They tracked the northern pike and lush that swam in the Kuskokwim River and its tributaries. And the results are complicated. The northern pike that live farther up the river from the contaminated mine site showed higher mercury levels than those nearer to the old Red Devil mine site. That included pike in the George and Halitna tributaries. The Kuskokwim Corporation, a native village corporation, owns the surface rights to the mine. Vice President Andrea Gusty says the lengthy remediation process for Red Devil is too slow, putting more residents more at risk.
Watching the remediation at Red Devil and the process and the years that it's taken, and we still have no resolution, it's been frustrating.
BLM says it takes a long time to gather feedback and do enough testing in order to clean up a toxic site like the Red Devil mine. For now, Red Devil residents aren't too worried about mercury contamination. Joe Morgan, who caught the pike in the Halitna River, will still eat it.
They show us a graphic of where's the most mercury fish are, which are up in George River.
Were you surprised when you heard that?
Yeah. I was just... because I know what... you know, it's mercury. If it was cooked and everything and it's poison, it's dangerous. You get it into you and you can, you know, in the long term you'll get ill, sick.
But you're not worried at all when you cut up that pike just now?
No, not really. I'll just dry it.
Despite the Red Devil cleanup, the residents are not as worried about possible contamination from the proposed Donlin Gold mine. While that's a much bigger mine, residents point out that Donlin Gold has to build it under much stricter scrutiny. For our next story, we'll take a look at how Red Devil is trying to gain some governmental power so they can get basic services like a school and health clinic. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Christy Schallenberger in Red Devil. Alaska's Energy Desk is producing a three-part series that takes a look at how Red Devil residents, some of the ones closest to the proposed Donlin Gold mine project, are navigating the complex impacts of mining. You can find part one on kyuk.org and ktoo.org. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter for more stories like these. This is KYUK News. Thanks for listening. I'm Christy Schallenberger. Send your tips and comments to news@kyuk.org and stay tuned for News Yuktan coming up.